Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 20 and down to the end of the chapter. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, beginning the reading in verse 20. Then he, being Jesus, began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! Woe, for if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For the yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here we are moving through the Gospel of Matthew. We come to chapter 11. And we find here that here God, Christ himself is going on as he's teaching. Now the main subject of chapter 11 is John the Baptist and his ministry. Jesus then proves that John's ministry and purpose was accomplished because he, that is John, presented Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. John prepared the way for Jesus' coming. Jesus proved that the people were not really ready for John the Baptist or him because of the way they treated them. In the rest of the chapter, from verses 20 down to the end, which read in your hearing, Jesus sets two opposite reactions to his ministry. I have labeled these two. First one, hearts closed, and the second one, hearts open. Now, hearts closed we find from verses 20 to 24, and hearts open we'll find from verses 25 to 30. I want to remind you of the two titles that I gave before the section of Matthew, the Gospel. Thus far, we have seen, first of all, the announcement of the King, seeing Jesus Christ and who he is as he was announced. And we found that in chapters 1 to 3, which we didn't look at. We began this section on chapter 4, beginning, first of all, with the Beatitudes. But then I said after that we have the authority of the King, which went on from Matthew chapter 4, and we're still in that section right now, indicating the authority of the King. This morning we will deal just with the first one, hearts closed, as we see in here Matthew 11 in verses 20 to 24. And here you know and understand that we have the Lord Jesus Christ himself as he's teaching. And now we find what he said in chapter 11, indicating to the people that John the Baptist and who he was and how he spoke of Christ himself, and he was a forerunner of Christ. Jesus tells the people then, as they looked at John, they did not understand who he was, and they still don't understand who Christ was. And so Christ said, you're like children in the marketplace. You can't make up your minds what you want to do. And so after that very aspect, he now goes and he turns to the very people. Now, it is not clear when this event actually took place, in verses 20 to the end of the chapter. But we know what Matthew is doing. He is not writing, again, I remind you, chronologically. He brings ideas together, subjects together, in order to do something with them. You hear what Matthew attaches this event to his ministry there at that time of John the Baptist. He's focusing on Jesus, once again, Jesus' authority as the Messiah of God. And he's going to point in these last two sections here the power of Christ and who he is and the authority he has. And you'll see, even in this section, he begins to talk about the authority that he has, that he can even assign those into hell who does not hear him. What authority. And so basically, again, the first section we have is hearts closed. In verse 20, we find Jesus, so it is written by Matthew here. He says, then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. And again, when this is that he did this is not clear. But actually, Luke helps us on that, and Luke reminds us that it was during the time that he sent out the 70 in Luke chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. Matthew attaches this here for a very purpose, and that is to show his authority. He says then, but he says here, what he began to do is denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. The word he used here, denounce, meaning to chide, to reprove, rebuke, or upbraid. Here Jesus is scolding or admonishing the citizens of the cities around there. He says to them, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. He looks at these cities and he announced those, the cities that were most around the very area which saw his ministry. At this particular time when this is taken, Jesus is in Capernaum. And this had become his very, we can call his base of operation, where he worked from. But these cities were around. Up at the top of the Sea of Galilee, you had these cities around in that area. And so all those cities, Jesus moved from one city to another, giving and preaching the word of God. This was his Galilean ministry, which covered the cities up and around the northern area. This area was privileged to have the Savior in their midst. He made Capernaum, as I indicated, the base of his operation, the base of his ministry. Remember later, early on in this very gospel, we found he left Nazareth and went on up. And this is where he took his ministry from. This area was a very well-traveled area. There was a road called the Great Trunk Road that stretched from Egypt all the way up to Mesopotamia. It was said that from this location, Jesus' message of the gospel could have been taken far and wide to travelers that came to this very area and heard the Lord Jesus Christ and as he preached. Another thing for us to remember is that during the time of Jesus preaching, there were not only the common folk that there were that heard him, but also there were scribes and Pharisees all there. In every city that you had, the Jews were there. They had their synagogues there. And so in all these little cities, you had the synagogues, and all those would come out and would hear Jesus preaching. And you would know, time and time again, Jesus shows to there are those who come out and try to test him, and even questioning him, and even in some cases doubting him and trying their best to destroy him. And so he says, in these cities, this is where Jesus was preaching. And he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. He looks at two of the cities where the word has gone out. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which has occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. When Jesus enters the woe, you have to understand what he's saying. It is the act of denouncing misery and pity attached to it. He's just not saying something, oh, forget about you. In the very voice and the word itself covers a whole idea of pity. What's going to take place in you, what you're going to suffer, what you're going to have now is misery. But I say it to you in pity. Jesus was not saying this in a sense, announcing this misery with anger and satisfaction. You know, we like that. We could do that. Someone is so bad and hey, they treated us so badly. We say, you know what? This is what you're going to get. And we can say it in a sense of anger and satisfaction. That was not in Jesus' heart at this time. He pitied the cities because he did a denouncement and they, because their sin and their whole idea of rejecting him and proofs of the power of God which should have caused them to recognize Jesus, they turned away from him. They should have been those who looked at him. They should have listened to what he had said. They should have been those who had even pondered the truth that Jesus was saying there and even given it some thought, recognizing that this was God. Okay, you're the one? How often did they say, are you the Son of God? Are you the Messiah have come? Well, listen to his message and think over it and think through it and say, maybe I should give some consideration to this. But they did not do that. Chorazin and Bethsaida. Chorazin, or spelled C-H or with a K in some aspects, was 2 miles northwest of Capernaum. And only mentioned here in Luke's gospel under this denouncement of Jesus Christ. Bethsaida was the birthplace of Peter and Andrew, two disciples. We see them in Matthew 1 and 44. And the home of the apostle Philip also. Both of these cities had witnessed the miracles of Jesus Christ. And he says, if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And then we would have to ask ourselves, why did he bring up these two cities, Tyre and Sidon? Why would he look at this? And what is he trying to say to these two cities? Remember, there are those synagogues in these cities. They're all Jews. They know the Jewish history. They know what is going on. Why Tyre and Sidon? Well, Tyre and Sidon were two of the wickedest Old Testament cities. They were Phoenician cities located on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. In that land where the Phoenicians were, Sidon in Genesis 10:15 is a name of the son of Canaan. And the city became a part of that area, a territory of the Canaanites. Sidon was one now. The city is named after him. Joshua 19 and 28, the territory of Asher extended to the border of Sidon and later became the Sidonians. And so there you have these people that are there, these two that are there. Judges 1 and 31, Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Sidon. And so you know when we have that and you read in the Old Testament, what had taken place in those aspects, those who were not driven out became a thorn in the flesh of the Israelites. Judges 10 and 6 says, then the sons of Israel again did evil and served the gods of Sidon. Tyre in Joshua 19 and 29 indicated that the territory of Asher extended to that border, as we saw also where Sidon was. In 2 Samuel 5 and 11, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messages to David with cedar trees and carpenters and stonemasons, and they built the house of David. And he was king of Tyre. There was friendship between David and Hiram, the king of Tyre. After David's death, Hiram became a friend of Solomon, his son also. And he supplied goods to them for Solomon to build the temple of God there. Then the two cities became tied together in prophecy against Israel. God denounced the judgment upon Tyre and Sidon. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 23. Just to give you a sense of what was taking place and what they are to see and understand what Tyre and Sidon was. And as Jesus takes up these two cities in his very word, notice what he's saying and pointing them back to. Look at Isaiah chapter 23. We'll just look at a few of the verses here. It starts off. He says, the oracle concerning Tyre. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed without house or harbor. It is reported to them from the land of Cyprus. Be silent, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon. Your messengers crossed the sea and were of many waters. The great Nile, the great harvest of the river, was her revenue, and she was the maker of nations. You see, they had those who had come to birth, and there were great cities at that particular time. And these great cities were those who they gave much. They had much in their, what they gave from their traveling on the sea, and everything was them. They were strong cities, although some say they never became an actual city to themselves, but these areas were very strong. Joel says Tyre and Sidon are judged for selling the sons of Judah in Jerusalem to the Greeks. Tyre was seized in 332 by Alexander the Great, fulfilling Ezekiel's prophecy. In Ezekiel 26 and 27, we find his prophecy there. And in chapter 28, to flip over to Ezekiel's prophecy. And again, just to show you why would the Lord Jesus Christ bring up these two cities at this particular time when he was saying it's going to be more tolerable for them. And notice in Ezekiel 26, it says in above the chapter, the judgment of Tyre. And then he says in the first two verses, now in the 11th year of the first of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, because Tyre has said concerning Jerusalem, aha, the gateway of the peoples is broken. It has opened to me. I shall be filled now that she is laid waste. You see what he's saying? He sees Jerusalem, and he says what it is. Now they're going to go and plunder Jerusalem. And notice if you just turn over to chapter 27. And he says in the beginning, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and you, son of man, take up a lamentation over Tyre, and say to Tyre, who dwells in the entrance of the sea, merchants of the peoples, to many coastlands, thus saith the Lord, O Tyre, I have said, I am perfect in beauty. And this is what Tyre, he's going over how Tyre looks at himself and says who he is and what he's done. But go on, he says in verse 7, your sail was of the fine embroidered linen from Egypt, and it became your distinguishing mark. Your awning was blue and purple with the coastlands of Ishlahah. You see that? It's showing us here the very seaworthy they were, and the ships that they had, and everyone knew of the beauty and the strength and all the mercy that they had, all the power they had, and all the wealth that they had. They knew that. Verse 8, the inhabitants of Sidon and Arva were your rowers. You see, the two were connected together. Your wise men, O Tyre, were aboard. They were your pilots. And he goes into that, and he indicating to them what is going to take place. But he said they are going to be brought low. But notice in chapter 28, and he says, it goes on. Remember, here God is now pronouncing judgment on these two cities. Chapter 28, the word of the Lord came again to me saying, son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted. Because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am God. I sit in the seat of gods, in the heart of the sea, yet you are a man and not God. Although you make your heart like the heart of God, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is a match for you. By your wisdom and understanding, you see, this is what Tyre thinks of herself. You have acquired riches for yourself and have acquired gold and silver for your treasurers. By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the God, because you have made your heart like the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon this most upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They will bring you down to the pit And you will die the death of those who are slain in the heart of the sea. And just turn the page over, if it may be as your Bible's like mine, you notice in verse 20, he picks up Sidon. That is Ezekiel there. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face towards Sidon, prophesy against her, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in your midst. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I execute judgments in her, and I will manifest my holiness in her. You see, I turn you to this because we have these two cities. Where did it come from? What will be in the mind and the hearts of the very ones as they hear this now at this time? When Jesus gives these two cities, what are they thinking? What should those in Capernaum now be thinking when Jesus says this? Here Jesus is saying, he says to them, he says, Woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he's saying, here is what has taken place. Look at these two cities. Look how horrible they were. So bad that God, he even announced judgment upon them. He was the one who came against them. All their pomp and all their beauty and all their possessions was taken from them by God by way of judgment. Long ago, he said, if I had come to them, if I had worked miracles in them, they would have repented. Long ago, in sackcloth and ashes, Jesus was saying that if those old glorious cities, with all their wickedness, if they would have witnessed the Savior and his mighty works, they would have changed their hearts and minds. Long ago, in other words, maybe pointing to the very time, how long Jesus was there preaching amongst those in those cities. How long had he gone through there? And in the first word that he brought to them, the reaction that they gave, but many times coming back again, preaching, going through the cities, and nothing has happened. He could have been pointing to the long ago, the first time I came and preached. If I'd went there one time and preached to those wicked cities, they would have heard me, and there would have been a change. There would have been a change in them. He said they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. They would have repented. They would have changed their hearts and minds. They would have turned. Jesus said these glorious cities, what they would have done, they would have brought them to themselves and thinking of who they are and take into mind and account what is being said by the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not have their mind against God and God's people as we see them in the old days there. And he says they would have done this not just to some, I believe and I did, but they would come with some of the most proofs that who they were and what has taken upon them, their whole being would have been changed. Their whole persons would have shown their actual repentance. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But you know what it talks about when we see it under the Old Testament, the sackcloth, is that is the harsh, heavy garments that were worn for those who are in mourning and repentance. They proved that they've brought this affliction upon their body, and they went down in the sackcloth. And then he says, in ashes, which actually strengthens the sorrow that the mourner is experiencing. He is in his place of mourning. This is what they would have done. They wouldn't have walked about and said, I forgive you, okay, and this is it. I hear who you are, and I turn to you. No, that it would have been different. They would have gone to the place where everything that they thought of now would cause them to be to that deepest, lowest area of thinking their whole lives through. We saw this as we read it, even in Job. What did Job do when he found that God even allowed the devil to get at his children? When he heard this word, what did Job do? Job repented. Job was down in sackcloth and ashes. And he said, this is the very thing. But not only that, We find also that there was those who would want Jonah when he found himself to go and preach to Nineveh. And but Jonah said, I don't want to go to Nineveh, because he knew that if God's word would come to Nineveh, Nineveh would change. He didn't want Nineveh to change. But when he got spit out from the belly of the sea monster, he brought on the shore, he started preaching about God. And the king himself, from the top to the bottom, they repented and they saw themselves in sackcloth and ashes. Don't do anything, don't do anything. So God is saying to him, Christ is saying to them, these two cities would have been different if I have even gone to them. If I walked in the midst of them, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But then he goes on, and he says in verse 22, nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And I wanted to give you who Tyre and Sidon was so you can get an idea of what would have been in the minds of those people when they heard Christ say this. See, you hear the Tyre and Sidon. If I just skip past that, not give you some of the background of Tyre and Sidon, you may say, well, all right, so two cities. No, these cities were horrible cities. These cities were the cities that really was against God's people. They sold some of God's people into slavery during that time. These are horrible people. So these people here now, Christ speaking to them, they knew what happened in the history of their people and how Tyre and Sidon has been their enemy and what they did to them. And so he says, nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. I say to you, he made an emphatic pronouncement. I'm speaking to you. It reminds me sometime if you want to get somebody's attention, maybe a child, you take the little cheek and you fall. I'm telling you something right now. I want you to hear and understand what I'm saying to you. That's what Jesus was saying. I say to you, I'm indicating something to you. It's emphatic what I'm saying right now. He said it would be more tolerable. More tolerable. It will be easier to bear for the judgment of God which will come upon them than the judgment that's going to come upon you. Your judgment is going to be worse than the judgment that Tyre and Sidon is going to feel. I couldn't help from this coming to my mind, you know, basically what it is, hell is going to be hotter for you folk. That's what he's saying to them. Chorazin and Bethsaida, you got a place of the hottest corner of hell. And these that were so wicked to God's people, they will be able to tolerate the punishment of judgment in hell more than you will. You will not be able to stand what you're going to go through. Judgment will be worse for the people that heard Jesus and saw his miracles, is what he's saying. Here he is, the one that God has sent out, the one who's come to tell the word of God's very word itself, and that they're there, and he's speaking to them, and they will have nothing to do with them. He says, you're going to pay for that. Yes, there are people who turn away Christ, we can say, in that day. But the one who hears and understands and hears all this says and say, I will have nothing to do with them, he says, it's going to be worse. I can't help from giving an application at this time. And that is, these words are spoken for us to even bring it into ourselves. If what Christ is speaking here concerns the people there, it also concerns us today. And hear what Christ is saying. Christ is saying, there are ruthless, wicked people in the world. You know what? We talk about the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and the Jeffrey Dahmers and how bad they were. We say there's no way in the world that these people cannot, hell would not be for them. And we say they deserve to be there. All the wickedness that they have brought upon lands and what they've done. And Hitler, basically, look at him, and he did it to God's Jewish people, his chosen people. But at this time, we see that that's a different thing. But yet, he did it. and how he destroyed lives and all those horrible men back in the early the 30s and the 40s and the wars that they came in a horrible, wicked way. They killed people and this and that. And we say, you know what? They will be in hell. And some people have, don't even think about the fact that Hitler could ever be saved. And I believe we all would think that way. In other words, we're saying it should be the hottest place of hell for them. But guess what, dear people? God is saying, if we put this and apply to us now, even those who heard and had some sense of the message of Christ, which Hitler probably didn't. Now, Hitler called himself a religious man, and there was a Christian church in Germany at that particular time, but he probably had nothing to do with it, had nothing, didn't hear it, didn't understand it. We can't say how much he heard, but some have heard the gospel, and Jesus is saying to some right now who's heard the gospel, you're going to hell, and your hell is going to be worse than Hitler's. That's what he's saying. Because they have made a decision, those who listen to Christ, to turn from him. They have heard what is said. He gave all this truth there. And not only that, they saw his miracles. They saw people doing things that they could not understand. Even the Sanhedrin and all of them were trying to tell that, no, this man didn't do anything with you. He's a sinner. He said, well, the blind could come and I see now. If he give me sight, this man must be with God. No, we don't believe that. We discredit that. And some today, though Christ is not working that way, they see that as a definite change in people. You know, we don't hold on to what God may be doing and all the works of wonders, you know, as if we have some kind of healing ministry. We don't believe that that is what Christ is doing today, but he does heal. He does do marvelous things in the lives of people. We can look at one another and we can see, you know something? I know this man, this boy, this girl, when he or she was thus. But look at them now. They credit that to Christ and the gospel. I don't want to hear that. Christ is saying to each and every one of us here today, I brought into your very presence. First of all, I've given you the scriptures. You can read the miracles of what Christ has done and how Christ has done the things he's done. No one else says this nowhere, no place. No religion picks up and say, the person who I love and serve as my God, one who leads me, I do not say any such thing, that they are equal with God, they do the mighty works of God, and they're still alive right now. No one says that. And then people hear that and say, I don't believe it. Well, it's going to be more tolerable, hell that is, for those wicked men of our day than for you who spurn the gospel, turn from it, talk evil about it. Your day is coming. That's what really is said. And then he goes on and he says, and he looks at Capernaum. Now remember, this is the place where he made his headquarters, so to speak, for his ministry. And he says there, and to you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? In other words, she's saying, here you are, and probably in the midst of the temple was there and everything, the very place where they worship was right there in the midst of them. And you had all these guys who'd come out with all the trappings of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they go to the synagogue and they're doing all the things, he says. And you really think that you, oh my, God is with you. God is with you in everything you're doing. You look at it, there's nothing wrong with you. And so basically he says here, and you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, because what's in their minds? What's in their minds is that we're serving God and we're going to heaven. We're going to be there. So Jesus is looking at him saying, no, that's not the case with you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? He's saying, do you really believe? Do you think because of what you're doing and everything? And especially in this context now, I've told you about Sidon, Tyre and Sidon, and they're going to hell. Do you think you're going to heaven? Do you by any chance think you're going to make heaven? That's what he's saying. Speaking to the city, speaking to all those in the cities, those who are there, citizens there, and how they're living. He said, you as a city, the citizenship here, do you think you're going to wind up being exalted up to heaven? He says, no, you won't, is really. You will descend to Hades. In other words, he's saying, you think you're going up to heaven. Look God is. Look Christ is. No, you're going down where the devil is. This is what he's saying to them. Jesus had done so much in this city. He had displayed so much love and patience to the people that would not listen to him. Instead, they mocked him. They doubted him and tested him. Jesus gives the idea that the citizens of Capernaum never knew or never were okay in the Savior's eyes, or maybe in God's eyes. Here he looked at them and he says, no way, we will not have this man to rule over us. They may have had the idea that they could possibly go to heaven. They could possibly wind up there. Jesus says, no, you will descend. You will go down to hell. And then he gives it again. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Sodom. You know who that is, right? Sodom and Gomorrah. Wicked Sodom. The wickedness was so great that God rained fire out of heaven upon Sodom. Because the citizens indulged in gross immorality, Jude said. Because of the wickedness there, the whole city was taken up with this wickedness. If Jesus would have worked his mighty miracles in Sodom, it would still exist. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. And notice what he says. He finishes off in verse 24. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in that day of judgment, in the day of judgment, than for you. God's judgment. He says that these people who are religious and doing everything that they think is right, doing everything that they think is pleasing God, now he's looking at a different aspect now. When he looked at Chorazin and Bethsaida there, he looks at all the wickedness that's going on. But now he's saying to them, here you are. You should be the ones who go up to heaven to God. You should be the ones who are looking, God will exalt. No, Capernaum, you are worse. All the wickedness there was there in Sodom and all that wickedness, but yet look at you. And he says to them, nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in that day of judgment than for you. Jesus gives the picture in these two, that they have already been judged by God in their place, and we know the great judgment day is to come when all will be brought before him, even the living and the dead. And he's saying there that now when that happens, when that comes forth, Sodom, when they stand there, and they look at the Lord Jesus Christ on his throne, and Jesus then speaks about what's to be done with this one and that one and the other one. He says when it comes to Sodom, what God places upon Sodom is going to be more easier to tolerate than what will be placed on you. That's something, isn't it? That's really something what Jesus is saying here. And I think what Jesus said when he took at Capernaum, he looks at them and he said in the very bastion of religion when he calls Capernaum. and what has done place, and basically what, as you see them there, you look at yourself as those who should be brought with God. Jesus reminds us of this in Matthew chapter 7. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have it out. And I'll say to them, depart from me. I don't even know you. Religious people are all over the world, dear people. Religious people, they worship in every kind of thing that they can do. They make their own gods, and they think that's all right. The God that they make have no power, has nothing. They can't read anywhere about them, or what comes out of man's mind. And then they believe that as long as they're doing this, everything is all right. But the day of reckoning is coming. And hear what he said. That day of reckoning, we pray that those who know not Christ will come now while you are alive. While you can actually hear and listen to the things that's being said. Jesus doesn't make this a pretty picture. You know, many people say, you know, well, I don't like the God of the Old Testament because he's a God of fire and judgment. I like the God of the New Testament, Jesus. You know, he's holy, Jesus. He's loving. You love him. Love this, love that. You'll be with Jesus. But Jesus is saying here, guess what? I am the one who have authority. I have authority over all things right now. And I am the one who's stating to you right now, it will be more tolerable for wicked ones who've gone on, who have never heard me, than for you who have heard me, but yet will not bow to me. That's what he's saying. And that's a horrible truth, but that is a truth. If you have something else you think you want to worship, think through that worship. At least I tell you to do this. At least be human enough, manly enough, whatever, intelligent enough to take your God and lay him beside the God of the Bible and see where he stands. Remember, Sidon and Tyre, they had their gods. On the Old Testament, all of them had their gods. Dagons and Ashtaroth and all, they had their gods, but they were nothing. Some of the Old Testament nations, when they fought against Israel, they said, gee, their God is the God of the plains. Let's go fight up in the mountains, you know, because they can't. His God is much powerful than our God. Remember, and that old movie that came up, you know, with Pharaoh, and as he came against the people, and when a Pharaoh on the movie, he came back after they'd been drowned in the sea, he said, Israel's God is God. Mm-hmm. When is some of you going to say, Jesus Christ is God? Amen. That's what it comes to. And he's speaking these. Now you have to read this and you have to look at it. You got to say in your mind, this is all poppycock or it is the truth. But either one, what you say and what judgment you come up with, you're going to have to live with that judgment. And Jesus makes a promise here. Hell awaits those who turn away from him. Hell awaits those who heard his message but yet don't want to be bothered with it. But we understand, dear people, what is said here too, that there's understanding that their God has to do something. God does work in the heart. But there is a sense, and a sense where you are hearing something. God has made you in his likeness and image. You can discern. You can bring truth in. And you can weigh that truth out. Most cases, the reason why you won't weigh it out, because you don't want to stop doing what you're doing or living the way you're living. And this is really what he says here to them. Oh, the cities going to be more tolerable. And I say to you, each and one of you here this morning, you have to see this and understand it. And I say this to each and every one of us also, because you know what? There was a lot of religion in the cities there. It's a lot of religion today. It's a shame that even in the Christian church, some has even turned to just religion. In the minds and hearts and people, and they are not really living by the power of Christ, but they're living because of their religion. What they have put together from this part of the Bible, from another part of the Bible, patchwork it up, and now this is what they're living like. But again, I say, look to Jesus. Think about him. He caused and spoke a powerful word to these people at that time. And he told them, and he indicated to them what needs to be done. And that's why I said to these hearts, closed as a heading for this section earlier. Hearts are closed. They will not open to Christ. And I say to you in closing, dear people, are there any closed hearts in this place? And when I say hearts, I don't mean how you feel and your emotions. I'm talking about the inner being, your thought pattern. What do you think? Will you not just sit down and say, guess what? I want to hear and see what he's really saying. We don't have a religion, dear people. You hear me say that plenty of times. We don't have here what we're saying to you, what other people have. Nice little pat, sweet things to tell you about you and God and how you're great with God and how you're going to get along with God. We tell you the truth. God says, man sinned. God say, you're a sinner. God says there's only one way for you to be right, and that is to come to Jesus Christ, who died for sinners. Let us pray. Our blessed God in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, for bringing truth to us. We could say of a truth, if you had not come to us, O God, and helped us in the very mind and hearts to even look upon you, awaken us from our spiritual deadness to look to you, O Father, we would still be left in our sins. And our Father, we thank you that you could do the same thing even to those in this building right now. You could come to them and make this a new day for them, a day which they would think upon the judgment. Sinners will truly go into the deepest part of hell and be suffering for all eternity. But yet, O God, they will go because they reject your word, O Lord, reject your message, reject you. So hear us, O Father, as we plead to you. As we would denounce them this morning, we do it with the same pity that the Lord Jesus Christ did with it. Not to look down upon them, but to plead that they would even be those who would turn from their sins and turn to Jesus Christ. Hear our word, O God, hear our prayer, and as we ask you to answer it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.